to read one of my favorite verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a brilliant, very special book, which has all the philosophy and the best poetry. It describes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared 533 years ago in Navadvip, Mayapur, West Bengal. Before this book, there was already a biographical book written about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is frequently mentioned by the author of this book, Krishnadas Karar Goswami. It was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. It was called Chaitanya Mangala, actually. Then it was renamed Chaitanya Bhagavata. Chaitanya Bhagavata. So Krishnadas Karar Goswami was requested by Vrindavan devotees to write this book. He had a title, Kaviraj. It's almost like having Nobel Prize in literature. So he was given a title of a master poet. I think even 100 years ago, normal education included Greek and Latin, and you were supposed to be able to express yourself in poetry. Correct? You would write poems. And of course, Sanskrit is especially suited for poetry and songs. He was a very great poet who lived in Vrindavan. And besides, he had a special blessing. He was a great devotee of Nityananda. Some say he was initiated by Nityananda. Nityananda was on the altar. We have Gaur Nitai, we have Chaitanya Nityananda. So he was the associate of the first expansion of the Lord, the first expansion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came to Vrindavan on Nityananda, with Nityananda Prabhu's blessings. And for decades in Vrindavan, he could hear stories about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because one other associate, a multi-billionaire Raghunath Das Goswami, ran away from his house and wealth to Vrindavan. Not to Vrindavan. He first ran away to Jagannath Puri. So he lived a long time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he knew a lot of good stories about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared after 48 years in this world, 48 years he spent in this world, and then he left. There are three versions how he left. The most widely accepted, is that he entered a deity in Jagannath Puri, Tota Gopinath. And if you come in the morning, the pujaris will show you the golden spot in the deity where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered, disappeared, entering into the deity of Gopinath. Anyway, so when he disappeared, for many of his associates, it was a big suffering and frustration and sadness. So Raghunath Das Goswami, in his transcendental ecstasy, said, "I will go to Vrindavan and I will jump from Govardhan. I cannot tolerate separation." So he came, and as he came, he met devotees there. So Rupa Goswami was there, Sanan Goswami was there. And the devotees, they said, "Okay, jumping, that's another thing. But before you jump, can you please tell us some stories? You lived in Jagannath Puri. You know, we were there, but we were sent immediately to Vrindavan to write books, to discover lost holy places, do some archaeology in Vrindavan." So we didn't have so much association, but you had a lot of association. Can you please tell us some stories? So he started telling stories, and he kept telling them for like 50 years. Couldn't stop for 50 years. Every day for several hours he was telling these stories. And Raghunath Das Goswami was speaking and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was listening. So then that, you can see every chapter he ends, Rupa Raghunatha Pade. I'm following following the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath. So then he took the notes of Sarup Damodar. Then he took something from, obviously from Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he wrote down Chaitanya Charitamrita, including a lot of philosophy here. Chaitanya Bhagavat is more about pastimes. Chaitanya Bhagavat has a lot of philosophy in a brilliant way, in a really brilliant way. If you read it, you will see it's like a jewel. Every syllable is a jewel. Everything is so beautiful in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's incredible. And you can see this is the book Srila Prabhupada translated. In fact, this is the first book Srila Prabhupada started translating in the West in the form of teachings of Lord Chaitanya. There. In many languages, this is a very special book. This is the first book that is given to new translators. It's quite complicated, so very often you have very far-out language in this book. Myself included, I was given this book as first to translate into Ukrainian. Now I'm reading it and I'm, how to say, shy. It's rather extreme. Although one Ukrainian author from the top 10 famous, he's a devotee, turns out. He became a devotee. So he asked me once, was it your translation of this book? And I said, yeah, but, you know, we were very young, naive. We had very naive romantic expectations how the language is going to be recovered, rediscovered, renewed. So maybe nowadays you would translate it differently. He said, no, this is exactly how it should be. This is perfect. So at least somebody likes it. So it's the first book Srila Prabhupada translated. It's not an easy book. It's very philosophical, very philosophical book. Srila Prabhupada, it's quite interesting how Srila Prabhupada constructs teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He begins with a crowd of people falling, crying in ecstasy and falling on the ground, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing. This or that. Yes. That's the beginning of the book. Something like, you know, seeing Harinam on the street. And then you look and you think, what is happening? So it's a wonderful book. And in Madhya Lila, there's one verse that I like to chant before every lecture. The verse says, Yasya prasadadagyopi sadhya sarvagyatam rajet sashi chaitanya devo me bhagavan sam prasidatu. Even a person with no knowledge, agya means zero knowledge, can immediately acquire all knowledge simply by the benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I am praying to the Lord for his causeless mercy upon me. I think it's a perfect verse. I guess we should print it on flyers and distribute in universities. I know some devotees who became devotees by praying to God, you know, Krishna, and then passing their, even failing the exams, still by praying they got some transcendental mystic experience, you know. They saw devotees, then they had the exam, and they, before the exam they decided, Krishna is my only hope. But here you have the verse which actually is requesting and glorifying God as the source of knowledge, all knowledge. I particularly appreciate appreciate the time frame given in this verse. How quickly can you get all knowledge? Immediately, yes. Also, the dynamic, the growing curve, the delta between the beginning and the end, right? From where to where do you move? From zero to all, right? This also, I think, is a very nice increment. it's really attractive. By mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the minimum. This is the minimum thing that is required for happiness. What is this minimum thing required for happiness? It is the story. What is our story? Where am I going? What is the point? The difference between torture and adventure is the story. Yes? If you are if you hear that first I was put into the room of 120 degrees Celsius and then plunged into the sea of 4 degrees or about 0 degrees Celsius. Does it sound like fun or does it sound like torture? Depends on the story, you know. What company was it? Why around me? Why did I go there? Was I forced to go there? Or was it special invitation of one company who came to our temple and then said, oh, we have a sauna, please come and use our sauna. And so I'm telling you, it was adventure. See, I'm still remembering whatever, 20, whatever, how many years, 25 years later, as a good thing. But if you are forced, if we are forced to do that, or if you do not understand what's happening, we feel this is suffering. There was some story, some research about children who grows with healthy mind, and they had originally two ideas: growing with strict parents and growing with very soft parents. So who will grow healthier? It turns out that it does not depend so much on strictness or softness as on the predictability, consistency. If there is a consistent story, we can adapt. When we understand what's happening, okay, we play by strict rules. Or okay, there are soft rules. But at least we understand, it's consistent. It's happening again and again in a similar way. Then we can play with this. We understand the rules of the game. But if the rules are changing all the time, that's when we suffer. That's where we grow very troubled. That's where children grow very troubled and very uncertain, very disturbed. Because one day it's this type of rules, another day it's another type of rules. So they don't know what to expect. Interestingly enough, also giving a story is one of the most important roles for a leader. He gives us a story. What's happening? Where are we going? What is our idea? It gives us focus. There are several things that a leader is giving. There is enthusiasm, kindness, and support, and honesty. But story is one of these things. And so many of us are frustrated. What is the frustration of being a teenager? Is that the story we heard doesn't match the reality. And we don't see what is the point. What is the meaning of life? Right? And we start looking, what, because we are told the meaning of life is enjoy your senses. And we try enjoying our senses like this, like that, some other way. And we are not happy. And no matter how much we enjoy, we are not satisfied. Something is, whether we possess something, own something, still, it doesn't satisfy us. So it turns out the story was wrong. So we are looking, what's the right story? And this is actually the whole trouble of postmodern era. Postmodernism is there is no story. And if there is, we will deconstruct it and break it apart. Everything is relative. If it, there's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so, as Hamlet said. Yeah, and everything is relative. If something is good, it's good for you, but not for me. For me, I will decide what's good. And this is also, you will recognize, is Nirvishesha Shunyavada. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to help us from this predicament of having no solid story. Story not in the sense of fantasy, but the line of development. Where are we going? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and he first of all gives the philosophy to understand the world. And in Sanskrit it's called Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. So Bheda Abheda, everything is one. Everything is also, there is a variety. So we are all one with God. And what was it? Ringo Starr? I am you and you are me and we are all together.
Ringo Starr?
Yeah, you can you have a, Misha can act as a That's Ringo Starr, right?
Yes.
Okay. With a little help from my friends. Yeah, we are one, true. But of course, there is too much difference. Even, you know, poor Beatles couldn't keep together. You know, they all quarreled. They all split. So there is some difference. Must be some difference, right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, there is difference. There is a difference. We are individuals. There is variety. There is good and bad. There are different stories. So we are one with God. We are all particle of godly energy. You are all divine. You know? Yes, you can come home and tell everybody. You know, we were told we are all divine. At least I was told I am divine. Okay? I don't know about you. No, everybody is divine. If it's alive, it's divine. Actually, even if it's dead, it's a little divine. It's connected to God. It's energy of God. But it doesn't mean we are God. We are God completely. We are small. We are a particle. We are energy. So that in itself already gives some understanding. That in itself already gives some foundation to build our life. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is coming and bringing the message to the whole world. What is the message? The message is back home, back to Godhead. Which is very revolutionary, because the 20th century, everybody was saying, go ahead, go forward. Prabhupada said, comes and says, let's go back. But not a little back, because some people also are there who are inviting us a little back. 20 years back, 50 years back, 100 years back, 400 years back. That's not enough. We need to go trillions of years back. Actually, so far back that it's beyond the time. We need to go back home, back to Godhead, outside of time. Before the beginning of time. That's how far back we need to go. Outside of time. So this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And there was I forgot which year it was, please remind me. I think it was about 96, I think, that Kola Shaker's song, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tata, was in top 10. Some countries it was top one, all around the world. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tata. They were singing, yes, Kola Shaker, in Sanskrit. So Achintya also means it's beyond the simplistic logic of black and white, beyond the binary logic, that things are just either black or white, without anything in between. That means that's the idea of Achintya, that there is a transcendental world, there is transcendental reality. And we are coming from there. So in this world, we are coming to experiment with our play with our independence. This world, material world, material, one of the unlimited, infinite material universes. But all these material universes are just like a teeny little corner of the spiritual world. And we have our place somewhere with Krishna. So we need to recover our divinity. We need to recover our eternal divine nature. What is our eternal divine nature? Being a happy, eternal, blissful, fully cognizant, filled with knowledge, servant, loving servant of the unlimited, wonderful Lord. And every yoga is aiming at recovering our nature, divine nature. That's the idea of every yoga. But bhakti yoga is the highest process. And for this age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming, and he's bringing the very complicated process of singing and chanting and dancing. And associating with devotees. So the process is chanting in our individual meditation and together with others, singing the holy names of Krishna from Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling all around the world, and he was making everybody happy. And his desire is to make also us free and happy. Free and happy and full of knowledge. And in our eternal loving form, divine form. In the spiritual world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gaur Purnima ki jai. Nidai Gaur Premanande. Okay. Any comments, questions? Points? Yes. Well, in any language, as long as it's Sanskrit and Bengali. Well, some languages also manage to make it very poetic, but you can see this is Srila Prabhupada's style. He gives you the original. Even rhyming is there. Even rhyming is there. There are so many beautiful verses with very advanced, subtle, poetic ornaments. Literally, very beautiful poetic ornaments in these verses. It's really beautiful. Both in Bengali and some British author said that in the British Empire we have two literatures, Bengal literature in English and in Bengal. So this is very beautiful Bengali and also Sanskrit. And sometimes the same thing is both in Bengali and in Sanskrit. Plus, it's not just the form, also the message it gives is poetic. It's very beautiful. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are some devotees who try to translate in verse, in different languages. I know some devotees are trying to do this. But you can see Srila Prabhupada gives word-for-word translation, so we can understand. If you just read carefully, you will understand after a few months. Yeah. So that's poetry. Okay, some other points about your poetic life, poetic story, and suffering and happiness. So the difference between torture and adventure is the story. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu helps us to see that we are on a journey.
There is a title in modern world, CSO, which means C is like chief, S is storyteller, and O is officer.
Really?
And this title belongs to the highest managers in some firms. And I wonder if you maybe know, is there any connection about these storytellers and this you were telling us today?
I mentioned this, but I never heard about this CSO. But I read some book about I think what is it called, Power Paradox, about some things we expect from leaders, and it was mentioned there that story is one of the things we need to make sense of what we are doing and where we are going. So therefore, even just when you help people to hear one time that we are actually eternal. Actually, each one of us is a divine spark. And we are here in this world on a journey, and we are meant, after all these experiments, to find our home and return back home. That in itself already helps people to find some direction in life and reduce their suffering. Because there is... this is one of the worst type of suffering. This is the definition of torture, to do something that's meaningless, that's pointless, that has no direction. Always, everywhere, there is some direction. Even in game and playing, there is some direction and some idea and some rules. So when we help people understand the story of this world and the idea of the purpose of our life, that already helps people diminish their suffering and find a higher happiness in their life. Hare Krishna. All right. So we continue our celebration of Gaura Purnima. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. am I? Is it the right time? Right? 4:30. I can talk. You know. Are you sure?
According to the escort program, I'm before
5. Oh, really? I always thought it's. 4:30, no? Oh, really? Ah, okay. Okay, Hare Krishna. So this was a short introduction. some stories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can see he performs several stories. Also, it's quite interesting. This is how Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami titles the three parts of his book. He calls Adilila, Madhyalila, and Antyalila, which is translated as the beginning pastime, the beginning play, the middle play or pastime, and the ending pastime. So there are three pastimes, three plays. So in the first one, he describes why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and he gives external and internal reasons. So he comes for saving us, but also on the way, together with that, he has some of his secret purposes to experience deeply the secrets of bhakti, the secrets of loving service to Krishna. So there are three secrets mentioned in chapter 3. Then his childhood pastimes in Navadvip and Mayapur, his boyhood, there are so many interesting pastimes. He's coming and performing pastimes as a young scholar, as a young scholar. So at the age of 15, 16, he has his own school with hundreds of students. And this is also in that time, Navadvip is famous, if you check the Wikipedia, or if you check Ingalls's university primer on logic, you will see that Navadvip was a famous seat of learning in that time. So it was one of the university places. And in that place, he has his own school. And he's super famous as Nimai Pandit. He's very famous, but he's also very naughty. For parents, for everybody, it's a good pointer. Yeah? They say that being naughty, in the young age, okay? is the sign of high intelligence. Yeah. So if you were naughty in childhood, that's good. If your children are naughty, then maybe it means they're intelligent. So Nimai Pandit was very naughty. Yeah, he was performing so many amazing pastimes. He would run out of the house, and he would lie down on a snake. And then the parents would find and almost faint, saying, "He's lying on a snake." Or he would run out, and then, because he had a lot of ornaments, some bad thieves would steal him by offering sweets. And they would say, "Come, we will give you a ride and give you more sweets." And he would climb and sit on their shoulders, but he would bewilder them in such a way that they would be running away, and they would come back right to the same spot, to the house of Nimai Pandit. And then they would see that everybody is looking for him, and then they would put him down and run away. So he would get a nice ride, sweets, and he would be back home safely. So Nimai Pandit. In fact, just as soon as he appeared, he would already perform some pastimes. We have one devotee in our society whose son, already at 6 months of age, got about 20 million views on YouTube because he would cry until somebody would chant Hare Krishna. And then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he would stop crying. As soon as they stopped chanting Hare Krishna again, so he filmed it, so it was a viral video, So that's actually not his pastime. It's a pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, so he would already spread the chanting of Hare Krishna being a small baby who hardly could even crawl. Already he would perform these pastimes. Then, of course, when he started growing up, his naughtiness only increased. Yeah, he would do so many naughty things. He would go and play with his friends in the Ganga. And at noontime, you can see that that was customary for people to go and take bath in the Ganga. They would take bath in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. That was the custom. And some brahmanas would go and meditate in the water. They would go, they would stand in water, knee-deep or waist-deep, and they would chant Gayatri Mantra, meditating. And then as they would meditate, Nimai Pandit would dive, and from underwater, he would jerk them by the feet. And just imagine, you're meditating, you know, this world is God's energy, Bhurbhuva, so on, and poof, and then somebody jerks you. And when they would, you know, not immediately, not the first time, the second time, they would say, Nimai, what are you doing? He would say, well, didn't you meditate on me? Didn't you call me? They would say, well, Nimai, be careful, this is not good. And some of them, as soon as they take bath, they come out and he throws sand on them. And some of them, you know, and they go take bath again. And then again they come out, again he throws sand. Again they go take bath, again come out, he again throws. So, you know, they are brahmanas, they are priests, so they are super tolerant. But how many times are you going to take bath, you know? You can tolerate it once, twice, but how many times? And he is so naughty. Or they would prepare something for worship, the special table for worship, with some offering, and he would come and he would eat all of this, or take all of this. And again they would chastise, and he would say, well, you were offering it to me, no? He was very naughty. Or they had separate places for men and women. You know, completely, usually there would be some turn in the river, so women would be on that side and men would be on this side, not even seeing each other. So Nimai Pandit with friends, what he did, he took some women's clothes and brought it to the men's side, and some men's clothes and brought it to the women's side. So they are coming, where is my dhoti? Oh, what is that? And women are coming out, and oh, where is my sari? What is this? This is some men's dhoti here. And so he was so naughty, doing all kinds of pastimes. So much so that that all the men, they became angry. And they said, actually not out of anger, but for his benefit. For his benefit. We should go and inform the father. So they go to the father, Jagannath Mishra. And as they head to the father, Nimai Pandit is warned by the friends, hey, you know, all the brahmanas are going to complain to your father. So he manages to come home before them. On one hand, as boys often know some shortcuts. Yeah. Do you know some shortcuts in Ljubljana, in Šiška, in around, across the train tracks or something? So, on the other hand, he's God, you know. So, that's another shortcut he knows. So, he comes home, and he comes, and, first the brahmanas come, and they complain to Jagannath Mishra. They say, Jagannath Mishra, we hate to say it, but your son is very naughty. He is disturbing us again and again and again. we think you should do something. And then Nimai Pandit comes home and he jumps and embraces his father. And his, Jagannath Mishra's heart already melts, but he controls himself. And he says, Nimai Pandit, where have you been? These brahmanas are complaining that you are playing too much in the Ganga. He says, Father, I didn't even go to Ganga today. Look, my long hair is dry. True, it's dry. He's saying, look, my hands are with ink from the school. I was learning Sanskrit. I was learning grammar. I didn't even go to the Ganga today. I didn't do any of these things they accuse me. He sees true. His hands are covered with ink. So he looks at the brahmanas, and the brahmanas are saying, you know, Jagannath Mishra, actually, you are very fortunate. What we say, forget about it. That was just a mistake. You're the most fortunate person in the world to have such a son as Nimai. So Niranjan Swami, when he explains this, he says that these places where Krishna appears, so when somebody deserves to be Krishna's God's neighbor, would you like to be born or and live in the same village as God? Be careful what you wish. What if he throws sand on you after you take bath? What if he steals your fruits? But what is the highest blessing? Highest blessing is to help us be absorbed in trance of meditation. So yogis have to bring the mind back. Maybe you know, as you try to meditate, even as you meditate, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are advised to bring our mind back at least 100 times every morning. And you know that without noticing, get lost in some thoughts. The mind runs away. But in Navadvip, you cannot forget Nimai. Just like as in Vrindavan, you cannot forget Krishna. In Navadvip, you cannot forget Nimai. Because no matter what you do, he will come and do something that you will have to think about him. And all his activities are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. So all his activities are bliss, knowledge, and eternity. So they are all basically absorbed in samadhi. What samadhi? In samadhi of interacting with the Lord. So these are some of the Adilila, some of his boyhood pastimes. Then he becomes a great scholar. Then he defeats a very famous Keshava Kashmiri, the greatest scholar who has defeated all the others in India. This was the pastime. So he was a champion, Digvijay. He would travel and he would engage in any debate with local scholars. Yeah, that was the fun. It was fun in those days. So he would come and he would offer any topic you choose, we can have a debate. And when the Navadvip scholars heard, Navadvip pandits heard, he's coming, Keshava Kashmiri is coming, they didn't know what to do. They decided to run away. Then they thought, okay, what to do? We have this Nimai Pandit. He's just about 13 years old. We'll put him forward. Then if he loses, we will say, yeah, he's just a child. You know, it's not truly what represents our level of knowledge. And if he wins, then, you know, we can say, hey, even a child from now can win over you. Can win over the great scholar. So this is a very special story of Keshava Kashmiri. So he comes and he sees, they tell him, okay, you must argue, you will have a debate with Nimai Pandit. He comes and they tell him where to find, and he sees him on the bank with his students. There are many students on the bank of the Ganga. And he says, so I hear you are a good grammarian. And that was meant as a put down, you know, as a humiliation, as a criticism, because meaning he just studied grammar, not the higher levels of composition and philosophy, other things, but just grammar, you know, it means primary school. Okay, maybe secondary, but not high. So Nimai Pandit said, well, I studied a little. So then Nimai Pandit says, okay, we are at the bank of the Ganga, so perhaps you would like to compose some prayer to glorify Ganga? And Keshava Kashmiri says, oh, of course. And then he, on the fly, composes 100 verses. 100, without stopping, 100 verses. Actually, in India still it's happening. They still do this. They have local brahmanas and scholars and singers from one village go to another village, and they sing one stanza, and then the poets from another village, they have to sing a response in the same meter with the same melody. And then these have to continue from that stanza. It's a very intellectual sport. So he composes 100 verses on the fly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, can you please analyze your verse 64? And he repeats the whole verse. So already Keshava Kashmiri is surprised. He says, how is it you remembered the whole verse? He says, well, you know, by blessings of the Supreme, somebody can compose verses, and by the blessings of the same Supreme, somebody can remember verses. You know, not my credit. Of course, he's the Supreme, but that's another point. And so Keshava Kashmiri says, well, there is this ornament, that ornament, and that ornament. As far as defects, there is no defects. So Nimai Pandit says, well, actually, there are 5 defects. So there is one defect of unclear definition. When you call Lord Shiva the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva, which is somewhat unclear. It sounds like she has more than one husband in that case. Also, you use another. So he points out five defects. But then he says, but no problem. Besides the ornaments you mentioned, there is 5 more ornaments. This is also another ornament, and that is another ornament, and that is another ornament. So just Nimai Pandit's pointing out such things to Keshava Kashmiri made Keshava Kashmiri completely stunned. Never happened to him before. First of all, he didn't see such obvious, glaring mistakes that now are totally obvious. You know, even to us who don't know Sanskrit, we read, we say, oh, it's a mistake, obviously. You know, when we see this, he couldn't say a word. So some of the students started laughing, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped them. He said, don't laugh, don't laugh. He's a great scholar. He has blessings of the Lord. So whatever talents he has, that's his blessings obtained from the Supreme. And Keshava Kashmiri, totally crushed, totally defeated, goes home, and he starts praying to Saraswati, the goddess of learning and art, saying, what is this? Every time before, you would always appear on my tongue just like that. Whatever I would say, you would just appear on my tongue. And now, I came out as a fool. So he was praying, and then finally he fell asleep, and in the dream, she appeared to him. And she said, Keshava, the person you have seen is my Lord. So even if I compose a poem, he can find defects in it. whatever my power is from him. So I am nothing compared to the Supreme. So you go to him and surrender. So early in the morning he comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Nimai Pandit, and he sees him, he meets him, and Nimai Pandit... So you can also see the culture that if somebody was defeated, they would accept defeat. So he surrenders to Nimai Pandit, and then Nimai Pandit gives him his blessings, and they say that that a very famous Kramadipika, a famous Sanskrit work from Kumara Sampradaya, is actually written by this Keshava, defeated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. And Srila Prabhupada gives this story in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhaktivedanta Maharaj says that this is a very important instruction. Before we can approach the science of God, we need to be at least a little humble, preferably completely humble, but if you cannot be completely humble, at least a little. So when we read, we can be a little humble and approach the Lord. So these are some of his pastimes. Then he takes sannyas, he goes to Jagannath Puri, he becomes a favorite of the top scholar in Jagannath Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then he goes traveling around India for 6 years. So this is Madhya Lila. And we have many, many pastimes. That's his middle Lila. And Antya Lila, that's it describes his higher ecstasies. Describes already his internal ecstasies and very high special trances that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experiences. So, this is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hare Krishna. And Chaitanya Charitamrita has, in this version, it has 1100 pages. If you read 18 pages a day, you will complete the full Chaitanya Charitamrita in 2 years. And it's not difficult to read because you can see it looks like a big page, but there is just a few texts. A lot of it is just Bengali and... Yes. So mercy is available. If you need any, mercy is available. Even ecstasy is available. If you read for 3 hours non-stop, you will enter a trance, and you will forget about the material world, at least for the time being. Hare Krishna. Who has read the full Chaitanya Charitamrita? See? Hare Krishna. Very good. Srila Prabhupada, this was one book he took and to read. He was reading again and again. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhaktisiddhanta, he would also read many times. Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, by the blessings of Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, we have both the Leela pastimes and philosophy and poetry and blessings, and even some very special blessings which can trigger transformation in the heart. You can see that some verses almost guarantee that by becoming absorbed in some of these pastimes, like what we read in the morning, that one who hears this, either understanding or without understanding, will become absorbed. What is it? Will be protected from danger, and what else was there? Will be protected from all danger, and will be absorbed in the loving ecstasy. So that means spontaneous loving ecstasy in Krishna Prema Bhakti and Gauranga Prema Bhakti. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama.